WildTalkRadio.com.
I have one question for everybody here tonight. Who wants to walk with Elias?
Yeah. Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Because when the hounds come down to this ring, you got two choices. You get out of our yard, or we beat your ass.
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
I am talent. I am fame. I am music. I am the air you breathe. I am everything.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
And we are live. This is Raw Post Show live across the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network, right here at WildTalkRadio.com, streaming on TuneIn Radio. Just search Wild Talk Radio Network. Presented as always by GoRec.net and MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211. I'm Sarak, and joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
Hello, hello. It's Monday night and a semi-eventful Monday it was on Raw.
We had a first time ever. We had a return. We had things being turned over. All in a matter of fun, I would say. We had a new theme song debut on the show, and that's where we're going to start with, because apparently we have to dedicate 66.6% of the show to that. So, the B-Team got a new theme song. Take it away.
Oh my god. Oh my god, y'all. The B-Team got new music. It's interactive. It's so much better than what they had before. Oh, thank god. God, and I have no idea what prompted this other than they heard everybody like, oh, the music's just like, eh. Because, I mean, it was a good song, don't get me wrong, but for what they're doing, it's comedy, and it's like this ultra serious, we're coming from the ashes, Phoenix rising, and that's totally not what they're doing at all, so it just didn't fit. So now they have this really awesome song where it's interactive and you can clap and stuff, and yeah, love it, absolutely love it. It's perfect.
It's perfect for that. It's like, go B-Team, go B-Team, go, or go B-Team, go. It's like, whatever it is.
Yeah, it's basically just, you know, a cheer for the B-Team, but it's just like, it's perfect. You have to hear it. Now, there are mixed reactions to it. Some people are okay with it. Some people are fine with it. Some people hate it. I mean, you know, you're always going to get that. Personally, I love it. I think it's perfect.
I thought it was great because guess what? It's interactive. I like they changed the Trons around too, so it bounces around with it. So it's like, it was perfect. It fits the gimmick better that they're trying to portray rather than the other music. It didn't fit. The other music was fine. It was a good song, just not for them.
I think the gimmick was supposed to be one thing, and then it turned into something entirely different. That or they just needed new music, and so they're like, oh, hey, we're just going to use this.
They needed music, and it's like, here, use this.
Yeah, so that's what happened there. So now they have their own custom music, and because they're the tag champs, so they need their own custom music. And yeah, it's just, I love it. It's taking off, and that makes me so happy for Bo and Curtis, because they deserve it.
So Bo and Curtis took on the Revival. That matchup did not last very long.
No, it didn't.
As the leaders of worlds decided to make an appearance, the Wyatt Screech, they appeared on the aprons. And yeah, they sort of caused some havoc, knocking out both partners and then taking out Bo and one of the Revival. Bray got to Sister Abigail, his brother.
Which made him super happy.
He was very giddy about it.
And he was not gentle with it either.
No, he was not.
I just really need a singles match between those two for about 15 minutes where they just beat the crap out of each other. If somebody could please accommodate that, I would be most appreciative of it.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that we haven't gotten a solo match between those two just makes me so sad.
So Monday Night Raw opened with Roman Reigns interrupting a Kurt Angle segment where Kurt Angle is talking about putting over Ronda Rousey and at the same time dissing Brock Lesnar, because Ronda's fighting Rousey's, Ronda's fighting Brock is not. That's sort of what happened. Roman brought up, if the big dog was out here, he would have protected his yard. Like, okay, fantastic. And then Corbin was taking some shots, taking some jabs at Roman, and then at Kurt. And then Kurt Angle, Corbin took some shots at Kurt Angle, saying, you just make the matches, and I'm here to, you know, make sure you do things right. And Kurt's like, well, if I'm here to make the matches, fine, I'll make you a match, and it's going to be Baron Corbin versus Roman Reigns. There were the other subtle little things in the promo as well, called Finn Tiny, so we're continuing that story. And
I wish they wouldn't.
Kurt is, hopes Roman kicks Brock's ass at SummerSlam, but it became Roman Reigns and Baron Corbin, and when did you know Baron Corbin in the opening segment of Monday Night Raw had a 20-minute match? I don't know if I've seen that anywhere before. Oh, wait. Saw that last week. Rinse and repeat. This time, Baron Corbin did not get the win as Baron Corbin was trying to leave. Finn Balor came out and stopped Baron from leaving, allowing Roman Reigns to hit the Superman punch on the outside and then hit the spear in the middle of the ring to get the W.
This was solid. I like what they're doing with Baron and Roman and how you're having this sort of back and forth jabs between the two. It's nice because you're pushing Roman rebelling against the authority, which they really should have been pushing all along, but you have a nice foil in Baron because he does have that personality that lends it to it. So I do like that. I get what they're trying to do. They're trying to stir interest in Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns, especially given the fact that there's been a lot of people coming out saying they really don't care, and the general response I feel like has been very apathetic to the match. Like, we all just knew it was coming, we've all been waiting for it. It's like, yeah, okay, just do the damn thing already. So I feel like they are genuinely trying to stir up interest. I don't know if that necessarily worked tonight, but I did like the stuff between Baron and Roman. I would almost love to see Corbin exercise more of his power against Roman, because it almost feels like they're trying to do a little bit of like a Austin-ish type of deal where Roman finally is rebelling against the authority. Again, he should have been doing that the whole time, but whatever. And Baron has to ramp up his power and really the abuse of his power by claiming it's Stephanie the whole time and it's really not, which could lead to him getting fired from that role. Anyway, and that's a way that you could sort of escalate something between Baron and Roman, and then you have Kurt kind of as the hapless figurehead who can't really do a whole lot because it's coming supposedly directly from Stephanie. And the way he sort of stops it is eventually he calls Stephanie and he's like, oh, hey, is this a thing? And she's like, no, you should stop him, or no, stay the hell out of it. You know, either way, but that's something I would almost want to see, but I'm not sure if they could do it right or do it justice.
Well, this is Bobby Roode beat Mojo Rawley.
Yay! Poor Bobby Roode. Can we do him a solid and send him back to SmackDown?
Or at least turn him heel. I'm surprised Bobby won, just the way they've been pushing Mojo.
You've got too much good in Bobby Roode. You can't keep jocking him out. And that isn't no offense to Mojo Rawley, but dude is a former NXT champion. He's taken a pretty hard fall since that. You can't knock him too far back down the ladder when you have somebody that good.
Rezar beat Titus O'Neil.
It was there.
It was there. We had.
It was fine. I mean, I don't mean to trash it or anything, but it was fine.
I don't need to ever see it again. I don't need to see them fight anymore, but we're going to. Bayley and Sasha Banks, the Boston Hug Connection, took on the Riot Squad. Riot Squad got the win when we saw the return of Ruby Riott.
That's right. The Riott Squad rioted because Ruby's back and she looks great with the new hair.
So it's like good to see her back, and probably at SummerSlam we'll probably get some sort of handicap match, possibly. I would assume.
Maybe
a 6-woman tag. Maybe Ember gets involved and it'll be Ember, Sasha, and Bayley versus the Riott Squad at SummerSlam on the pre-show. Maybe. I don't know. It's called a hunch. They got plenty of time to fill. On that one, we had the return of the Kevin Owens show.
Conveniently done on the stage.
Conveniently done on the stage. Not in the ring, but on a stage. Jinder Mahal was his guest. They talked about how he's like, Mahal is now his personal guru. He talked about how he achieved the possible by beating Sherman in a cage match. He noted that Mahal's win last week was just a count out, but it was a win nonetheless. And he talked about how he would be KO in the bank if he beats Braun Strowman at SummerSlam, and he will reclaim his Universal Championship, which he hasn't had a shot since he lost. Owens and Mahal face Strowman again. Jinder did not want any part of that. And Kevin Owens calls out Braun Strowman, and who didn't come out. Owens like, the monster's nowhere to be found. And then the platform starts to shake and move, and oh my god, Braun Strowman is turning over the platform that was conveniently on the stage and not in the ring. Oh my god. So Braun Strowman turned over the set.
Like he does.
Leading to Braun Strowman versus Jinder Mahal. Jinder Mahal got the win by disqualification. Can we stop? I'm losing points because of this. Come on. Can we stop? Cool. If Braun could get wins correctly, he should be beating Jinder, not losing by disqualification or countout. Just saying. We know what the story is. You're setting up Braun could get disqualified. He could lose his briefcase. He can get counted out. He could lose his briefcase. But it's cost me fantasy points. Can we not? Can we stop? Please.
I'm just curious. Do you lose fantasy points if he loses the briefcase?
I only lose if he loses the match. I won't gain the points I would get.
But you don't lose them.
No, I would only have it'd just be a loss. That's all.
Okay.
So, don't put a jinx on me, please. I need the points.
I was just more asking because it's like, well, if he loses the briefcase, technically shouldn't you lose the points that go with the briefcase? Oh, and whoever wins it gains them?
Oh, if he loses the briefcase? Oh, like that? Mm-hmm. I haven't thought about that. We'll have to talk about that. I thought you meant if he failed in a cash-in.
No.
Huh. Scenario never popped into my head before that. For now. We'll have to think about it. It was Elias' time. He talked about his documentary on the network, how they did it wrong. So he brought his own crew and they're going to redo it, and he's singing songs, and he totally wanted better shots, film in his hand, blur out the face of the crowd, all these things. Bobby Lashley interrupted. He's like, I really liked it because it was an actual depiction of who you actually are. And Elias said he's had his moments, but at times I portray the egotistical, out of touch, and vain as opposed to what Lashley said. And Elias wanted the camera to stay on him, but because Lashley's trying to steal a spotlight. And they ended up, Elias attacked Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley got the edge. He got the film crew to film him destroying Elias. It was fine. It's better than last week's singing segment.
It was. I would agree with that.
For some reason, they really enjoy putting Bobby Lashley in long talking segments when that's not his strong suit.
And I don't know why.
I don't understand it.
I mean, it's like, can we not do that with Bobby Lashley? Can we just have him go out there and kick ass and beat people up and do what he's really good at? I mean, he can talk, don't get me wrong, but he's not a talker. Like, he's not someone that can cut these amazing promos every single... He's not The Miz, basically, where he can go out there and he can cut these promos and he can get the crowd to react accordingly. He can kind of get him to do it, but it's like, talking is just not his deal.
But even in that, it's overly complicated segments.
But I feel like if you're going to do that with him, he's one of those that he... You know what? He needs a Paul Heyman, and Paul Heyman's available.
Mm-hmm. Which we'll talk about here in a moment. Seth Rollins went to Kurt Angle and said he's tired of McIntyre getting involved, Ziggler getting involved. He wants to figure a way to take out McIntyre because he wants the Intercontinental Championship back. So he says, well, you can have a tag team match. Seth is like, fine. He needs to go find a partner. Tyler Breeze offered up his assistance. And, well, Seth appreciated, but he's going to pass because Roman Reigns showed up. So, Roman Reigns or Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler is the scheduled matchup. As they're headed to the ring, well, you see, Baron Corbin asserted his authority and, well, had called in a favor of Stephanie. And Stephanie told Kurt Angle to make this stipulation. If Roman Reigns is involved in this matchup, because he already had a grueling matchup earlier, he would be forfeit his match at SummerSlam and he couldn't compete. So it would end up being Seth Rollins versus Drew and Ziggler. Roman had a nice little shot at Baron before the segment closed, which was good.
It was good. And Seth, you utter slut. That's all I have to say on that.
So we had,
of course, you know, Tyler offers himself up. It would have been totally fine. It would have actually been very pretty if you two had come down together. Oh, no, no, no. Your ex-boyfriend shows up, or current boyfriend. I'm not sure what they are at this point. It's complicated. And Seth's just like, yeah, no, bye. So, yeah. And then Baron's like, oh, no, which I personally liked. I thought that was good.
So, Drew and Dolph got the win. There was a little controversy because Ziggler was not the legal man, but he got the pin anyway.
When does that ever count? When has that ever been a thing where it's like, oh, you weren't the legal man, so you can't get the win? Like, when has that ever mattered in wrestling? Ever? I'm just saying, like, that happens literally all the time.
It does. So Renee Young is interviewing Paul Heyman. Paul is very emotional. He was asked, where he Brock Stan, and Heyman's like, I don't know. And he said Lesnar disconnected his phone number and he can't be reached through intermediaries and he hasn't spoke to Brock since last week. It's not that I haven't wanted to, but obviously he doesn't want to take my phone call. Heyman is like talking to people off camera. He's like, we really going to do this? I want to keep this private. We're really going to do this. Brock's not going to like this. It's a private matter. It's going to piss him off more. And Renee brings up how Lesnar said Heyman's an employee. Heyman asks her, are you enjoying this? She's just trying to get to the bottom of it, and he's like, so am I. Heyman said he considered Lesnar a friend. He envisioned the two of them riding off the sunset together. Paul Heyman starts crying. Renee asks Heyman if Lesnar still needs him, and when he didn't reply, Young asked if they needed a break, and Heyman's like, come on, just do it, ask the question you need to ask. Which is, do you have your eye on someone else? Heyman said it was inconceivable a week ago. He said the whole situation is inconceivable. He asked, how could he just go with somebody else?
Really easily.
Renee asked him, what would happen if he would leave SummerSlam as Universal Champion? Heyman said he's been with Lesnar for 16 years and he's been through every up and down with him, even turning on him once. Didn't mention that. He said he'd never seen him more driven, focused, or violent. Against this Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns doesn't stand a chance. Paul Heyman is gold. Simply gold.
I think he's more platinum, personally. I mean, he's just... nobody can touch Heyman. Nobody in terms of his promo work. Nobody can touch him. He does such amazing things. And yeah, go him. I love that they are breaking up Heyman and Lesnar, because what that's done is it's, you know... they're teasing the fact that Lesnar is done after WrestleMania, SummerSlam. Gotta get my months right. But could Paul Heyman linger? Could Paul Heyman pick up another client like a Bobby Lashley or say a Ronda Rousey or even a Roman Reigns? Could he do that where he sticks around and he becomes somebody else's hype man? But I like that after all these years of Paul and Brock being so tight that you are breaking them up, supposedly. I mean, now they could kiss and make up the week before SummerSlam and everything's fine, or this could all be a ruse and Paul helps Brock get the win at SummerSlam. We don't know, but I loved this segment. I loved how the interview was fantastic. Again, Paul Heyman, everybody, nobody can touch him.
And now we get to what happened in the main event. Throughout the night, we've seen moments of Ronda Rousey preparing for her main event match on Monday Night Raw. And it was Alexa Bliss leading Alicia Fox to the ring. Yes. Alicia in the main event against Ronda Rousey. Alicia didn't even get to use her own music.
Which was so sad.
She didn't seem happy with it. You could see she whispered something to Alexa. Like, all right, okay, we're doing this? All right, cool. So Charlie is in the ring to interview Alicia. And Alexa cut her off. And, she started asking a question about Ronda Rousey. And it's like, Alexa told Charlie to put that journalism degree to work. Because come up with a good question. She asked Alicia how she's prepared to face the baddest woman on the planet. Alicia assumed Rousey was still banged up from last week from the beating, and we saw highlights of it. She talked about Rousey's accomplishments and asked, was she the captain of the Survivor Series team? Alexa took the mic and told her to go away. She said they wouldn't be having a WWE Evolution if it wasn't for women like Alicia Fox paving the way for her and others like her. And others. Bliss thanked Alicia Fox for her contributions on behalf of herself and everyone in the locker room. Bliss said Rousey isn't thankful for anything. She asked if Fox had spent the last day of her life sacrificing to let an overrated rookie steal her thunder. And that brought out Ronda Rousey with Natalya. We had the introductions. We had Alicia sort of bouncing around and she's ready for the go. She bails out. Alexa runs some distraction. Natty gets sent to a post at one point. Some more distractions. Alicia got on the attack and had her down in the corner. And then Rousey gets that look.
You die now. That is what that look is. That is that she picked that up from Taker. It's just straight up. She is going to level somebody. Is the only way I can describe that look. I mean, it's just like, oh God. Oh God, get out of the ring. Oh God, get out of the ring. And then here she comes.
And then she just put a whooping on her. Punches. Throws. She threw her around ringside. Threw her back in the ring. But that judo throw where she just whips that arm. Ooh.
Oh my God.
She's going to kill a person. Ooh, it's amazing. I love watching Ronda work. She is great on offense. It's fantastic to watch. Enjoyable to watch. Rousey would block in the armbar and get the win. She got on the mic and told her, you can clutch that belt as long as you want, but the title is hers at SummerSlam. Good stuff.
It was really good stuff. It was a really nice way to close the show. I just wish, and I know this was to get Alicia and Ronda, or I should say Alexa and Ronda over, but I would have liked it if Alicia got a little bit more spotlight, because this is, I think, the first time she's ever main evented Monday Night Raw, and that's, I'm sure, a huge deal for her, so I wish it had been more about her, but I understand, again, why it wasn't, so I'm not going to complain too hard. My only criticism of the actual physical segment, other than the Alicia stuff, is that it felt like it took a while to get to the match. Like, they did the promo, and it's like, okay, you know, you're looking at the time, and it's like, they started this, I think, at 10:50, and then they talked for 10-15 minutes, it felt like, and then they did the match, and the match wasn't really anything. So it was like, it took a while to get to the match, and you're sitting there like, are we going to talk, or are we going to fight? Like, what are we going to do here?
But once we got to the action was good. Overall, a good episode of Monday Night Raw. There's some stuff that just doesn't need to be there. But in the end, good show.
Good show.
That'll do it for the Raw Post Show Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. You can check out the Rack Extra Reviews. Ms. and Mrs. Season 1, Episode 2 now available. Episode 3 will be available as after the show airs tomorrow night on the USA Network. Check out the Rack Extra Reviews, Total Bellas Season 3, Episode 10. Now available the whole entire season. Go check it out at rackradioshow.com. Thursday night, it is The Rack.
That's right. Tune in. We'll have news, notes, NXT, SmackDown, Tweet of the Week, all your favorites, and a discussion. It's Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, The Rack, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
The Saturday night, midnight-ish. Trying to figure things out. Saturday night, midnight-ish, it's CB Radio. We're doing the Greater Than Great Debate one-liners. It's a year in the making. We're finally getting to it. One-liners. This Saturday night, midnight. Super Radio Live on Facebook, Twitter, and SuperRadioLive.com. GreaterThanGreatDebate.com. Muscle Talk Radio returns to preview SummerSlam this Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern at WTR Sunday on the Facebook and Twitter. Back next Monday for the Raw Post Show, 11, 10 p.m. Eastern. It's twitch.tv/WTR Live. Follow and subscribe. It is facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. It's twitter.com/WildTalkRadio.
You can follow me on Twitter at LensWard, LNSDBRD. Go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com.
Thanks to Gerwick.net and MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. She's Lindsay. I'm Rock. We'll see you Thursday for The Rack. And right back here for the Raw Post Show, live across the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network, right here at WildTalkRadio.com. Wild control, there's no communication. I never can say what they want to say. It never gets better anyway. So why should I care about a bad reputation? Anyway, oh no. No. Not me. WildTalkRadio.com.